I just wanted to share with you a couple of very quick scripture references. And I've got this written down on paper because I've taken this from our first service where we had these readings in full. The first service we had a reading from Leviticus. Now, Leviticus, one of the Old Testament books, is often quoted in Christian circles. And it's usually quoted in very judgmental ways. Because it was a formative time of the Hebrew faith. And God, through Moses, gave them a series of commands. Now the short couple of verses that I've got come out of Leviticus chapter 19. If you do want to use one of the Pew Bibles, it's page 116. From Leviticus 19, and the two verses I want to share with you are words that the Lord said to Moses. And I'd like you to think about this in the relationship people to people, and more particularly how we are to act towards others. These are the words that the Lord said to Moses. In verse 11, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbour or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor, or favouritism to the great, but judge your neighbour fairly. Then, one of the readings also was from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, page 1129 if you wanted to check it. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you. I'll repeat that, just the one verse. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? That's something for each of us to remember, that if we are God's temple, so is our neighbour. We are all God's temple. And so therefore, God's Spirit lives in us, and there is the potential for God's Spirit to live in all people. Sometimes we see God's Spirit, sometimes not. And that's in our own lives, just as much as in the lives of others. And I now wanted to share with you the Gospel reading for today. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's from chapter 5, and it's verses 38 to 48, and you'll find it if you're following in the Pew Bible at page 959. I'll share it with you in the context of loving our neighbour, loving ourselves, where Jesus is part of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been sharing sections of the Sermon on the Mount over the last couple of weeks, and this is the next section, where Jesus has these people gathered around and he's explaining to them about becoming kingdom people. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's been some hard passages in the Sermon on the Mount, haven't there? And perhaps none harder than today. What's this eye for eye, tooth for tooth? It goes back to the book of Leviticus. It goes back to that formative stage of the Hebrew faith. You see, it was very much counter-cultural at the time of Jesus, because people were following a law of retribution. And Jesus is saying, that's really not what it's all about. It was supposed to be a limitation, that if somebody did something to you, the worst that you could do back to them was to do the same thing back. So if someone poked out your eye, the worst thing that you could do back to them was to poke their eye out. Not take it further. Not to bear the grudge and make the retributive act far greater. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not what it's all about. That's the limitation. But I've got a greater limit for you, and that is to limit, Jesus says, to limit your response and not go the bad way, but go the good. Now, I'm just going to wander here for a moment because I need a little slide changer. Because I have a series of slides that I would like you to reflect on and think about in the context of living the Christian life. The first one is this. Martin Luther King Jr. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate. Adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The brother overturns the do unto others as you would have them do unto you, doesn't he? Only love can overcome hate. How do we feel about that? How do you think about it? Is that the Christian way, of course? How easy is it? At times it's very hard. God is never too busy to listen. Don't be too busy to talk to him. So when the difficulties, when someone offends you, when someone does something grievous against you, and you are thinking, oh Jesus, I wish you hadn't told me that I was supposed to love this person. It is just so difficult and so hard. Talk to the author of that command. Talk to the one who gave that command. And help you find ways to love the person. Praying for the person is the very first step, is it not? Remember last week when Alan spoke to us about first comes the thought, then comes the planning, then comes the action. And if we can cut off the bad things at the thought level, then we will not be prone to making all of the mistakes that normally we fall into. So may our first thought be to pray for the people. Sometimes that prayer may well be, Lord, I pray that I never fall into that same circumstance myself. Or that I may never treat someone else like that. But the person has, so Lord, I pray for them. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to bless them. Why? Go back to that previous one. Because hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can drive out hate. Only love can overcome the hate. And so that is what we should be praying for. If the devil can't make us really bad, then he'll try to make us really busy. In what context could that be as far as our relationship with other people? Well, you might want to go and say you're sorry or that you have caused someone offence and that they have taken offence at you and they've criticised you and they've dumped on you. That, oh, look, it's too busy. I've got so many other things. I've got to go shopping. I've got to do the washing up. I've got to unpack the dishwasher. Whatever. And we become too busy. And that busyness is the devil's playground. We need to build in the time in our lives to not be busy. Otherwise, as that saying goes, if the devil can't make us really bad, he'll make us really busy. So we do not communicate and we do not say to the other person what we need to say. Steve Jobs. I don't know whether Steve Jobs ever thought that he would be quoted in church, but here he is. I know the writing is small, so it says this. If today were the last day of your life, would you want to do what you are about to do today? I would hope all of you would answer yes, because we're here, at church, we are here worshipping God, we are here sharing fellowship with others. But what about when we're outside? Now, I don't want to be caught for suggesting something as awful as, what if you were in a motor vehicle accident on the way home and that was the last thing that you ever saw on this earth? Or what if you were crossing the road and that was your last experience? Are you happy with the last thing that you ever did? Well, if it was loving God and loving your neighbour, loving your enemy, because neighbours at times have a tendency, many neighbours are enemies and many enemies are neighbours. Loving neighbour, loving others, loving God should be the utmost in our mind. Another one, Nelson Mandela. Let me read it for you, this one as well. No one is born hating another person because of the colour of his skin, or his background, or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. When I asked those younger members of our congregation if they had lots of friends, their hands went up. When I asked them if they had enemies, no hands. If I was to ask you the same two questions, no need to show hands. Just think about it. We do, as Nelson Mandela says in that quote, we do learn to hate, don't we? Sometimes it's learned experience. and it's harder to unlearn things that we have, that have become so imprinted. Going back to Martin Luther King again, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in time of challenge and controversy. There are many controversies facing our nation, our community, our world. The challenge for us as Christians is to respond to them in loving ways. And if you think it's any easier for me to stand in front of you and offer those words, it's no easier for me than it is for each person sitting here. For we are all tempted to find easy ways, to find political ways that are ways of explaining circumstances away. There are people in this world who are dying for their faith. There are people who are putting their love of Christ, their love of God, on the line. There are people who are struggling to get away from totalitarian and authoritarian regimes. There are people who are not easy to love, even within their own local community. But the challenge for us is not the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. The challenge for us is to show love, to show respect, to treat them as if Christ is in them just as much as it is in you and I. Because that is the truth. Christ is in them. They may not recognize it at this point of time, but they will never come to know the Christ in them unless we show the Christ in us and we encourage the Christ in them. No matter how busy a person is, if they really care, they'll always find time for you. God must be one of the busiest beings of all time. But God's got time for you and you and you and you. God's got time for every one of us. So we also should find time for others. Amen.